Parshas Miketz begins with the third pair of chalomos, the third pair of dreams that we have associated with Yosef HaTzadik. In the beginning of last week's Parsha, we spoke about Yosef a little bit, one aspect of Yosef and his chalomos, Yosef and his dreams, and spoke a little bit about Yosef versus Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu specifically is described as the opposite of a chalom adaber bo. And we have there Yosef HaTzadik having two dreams. The first dream about the sheaves, and the second dream about the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down to him. Then at the end of last week's Parsha, we had where Yosef HaTzadik is in jail, and the butler and the baker come to him, and they have dreams. Or they don't come to him, but he encounters them in the jail. And they have their dreams. Their dreams are also, seems to be like, almost seem very similar. But Yosef interprets them very differently, one from the other. And then in this week's Parsha begins, really, the first Aliyah is occupied by the Chalomos, the dreams of Parai. Vahimi Kech Nosayim Yomim Farai Chaylein Bineh Emed Al Hayar. And he has the dream of the seven fat cows and the skinny cows, and then he has the dream of the seven stocks that come, seven healthy ones, seven poor ones, and the one swallow off the other. Aikatz Parei v'inei chalayim. Parei awoke, and behold, it was a dream. So really, this is the last in the series. Yosef is going to come forward. Really, what we have till Sheni is just where the butler comes to Parai and says, I have to tell you something, as you're looking for an interpretation of the dream. And there's no one who can interpret the dream in a satisfactory way for you. I have to tell you about this fellow Yosef, this Jewish fellow who was able to interpret the dreams for us when we were in jail. And he recommends him to Parai. And the pasuk describes how Yosef was dragged out of the jail in order to interpret the dreams for Parai. And with that, we get till Sheni. So, what I want to really point out to you here is perhaps a subtlety that while the Ha'ara, the note for itself, one might question its significance or its validity, I think it is a significant Ha'ara. I think it is a significant point. And in any case, it opens the door to a little bit more of a discussion, a little bit more of an understanding of Yosef and the Chalomos. What's the point? The point is that these dreams always come in pairs. It's always two dreams. Yosef HaTzadik originally has two dreams, a dream about sheaves and a dream about the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down to him. The dreams aren't exactly the same. They're different. One of them is about the 11 shibolim of the brothers bowing down to Yosef's. Not shibolim, but alumais. 11 bundles of the brothers bowing down to the bundle of Yosef. And the second dream is about not only the 11 stars, but also the sun and the moon. So besides the difference in content between bundles and the sun and the moon and the stars, which is a different thing, but there's also the idea that he has the brothers, and then he has the brothers and his parents. And in fact, we know chronologically that that would be what would happen. By the end of Parshas Miketz, the 11 bundles have bowed down to the one bundle. The 11 brothers have come and bowed down to Yosef. Right? First 10 came, and then Yosef engineered that the 11th one would come, that Binyamin would come. But Yaakov was still in Eretz Canaan. He didn't come to bow down to Yosef. So there were 11 bowed down. And then, in next week's Parsha, Vayigash Yaakov and his wives come down to Mitzrayim, and they also bow down to Yosef. So it's two stages, two dreams, two stages. In the dreams at the end of last week's Parsha, the butler and the baker, two dreams, but they couldn't have been, it would seem, more different, at least in terms of their results. Right? They both anticipated something that would happen in 3 days, but in 3 days the butler would be promoted, his head would be lifted up in the positive sense, and in the case of the baker, in 3 days his head would be lifted off of his shoulders. Nothing very exciting. So therefore, you have two dreams, again, very different. Parai has two dreams. Pare also has two dreams: the dreams of the cows, the dreams of the shibolim, dakeis ushtufeis kadim, dreams of seven swallowing up seven. Also two dreams. Yosef is going to interpret, as the pasuk here itself already implies, right? He woke up v'inei chaloim, and behold, it was a dream. Hini nishleim chaloim shalom lefanav, says Rashi. A whole dream was completed before him, and he needed now pisare. He needed now interpretation. But when Yosef would interpret it, also he would say that the reason why there are two dreams is just to tell you that it's coming more quickly. It's the two chaloim is chaloim echadu. They're really one dream. What Hashem is about to do, he's telling Pare. Why does he tell do it twice? Because nochein hadavar meimalekim. Because the thing is ready to happen. It's not something which is off in the distant future. It's something which is about to happen now. So my question to you, and again, you can shrug your shoulders at this question if you wish. I won't be insulted, right? But the question is, everything happens. All these dreams are pamayim. All these dreams are two. Every time the dream is two. Each one with a different cheshbon, you know? Each one with a different calculation. What's the two? The first time the two is, indeed, two stages. The second time the two is, two different outcomes. The third time the two is, really the same thing over and over again. What's the nature of this? What's the nature of this idea that it's always two? But sometimes the two is this, sometimes the two is that, sometimes the two is one. How does that work? There's something, excuse the pun, to it. You know, there's something going on over here that everyone, every time the chaloim is double. And I think that I want to put this out as the ha'ora, as the note of the consideration to begin our discussion here as we look a little bit further at this phenomenon of the chalomos of Yosef, as the poser chalomos, as the interpreter of dreams. There's a famous Gemara, this is the place where these things are discussed. The Gemara in the last parak of Maseches Brachos, in the ninth parak of Maseches Brachos, discusses chalomos. It discusses dreams. And it discusses the idea of different dreams that could occur for a person, different difficulties, different things that could come to a person in a dream, and what the results of them could possibly mean. Okay, interestingly, one second. Interestingly, the sugya of the dreams begins on Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph, right after a statement of the Gemara, which says, "Mipnei ma yimeis Yosef kaidim lecha mipnei shehin ingatzmei berabonos." Why did Yosef die before of his brothers? Because he took a position of leadership. A position of leadership takes its toll. That's what that's how the Gemara starts there. And then the Gemara goes on to a discussion about dreams. All dreams require something. Require a person needs rachman to have, you know, good dreams and so on and so forth. The Gemara says, "Chalomos holches achar hapeh." The dreams go after the interpretation. That the interpretation that the person provides for the dream will in fact be determinative of the result. And of the result of what's going to come out as a result of the dream. And so the Gemara says that a person who sees a dream and it's not interpreted, so yitivenu bifnei shleisha, right? He should go and he should improve the dream in front of three people. Let three people come and he should say to them, "I saw a good dream," and they should say, "Tavahu v'tavah lahavi," it's good, it should be good, rachmanu l'shavi l'tav, the Torah, the Rabbanu Shalom, excuse me rather, should make it good, and so on. So this idea of dreams being subject to interpretation, and the interpretation which is provided is going to make a difference, to the extent where the Gemara tells a fantastic story, a story which is very hard to understand. Barhadia Mafshir Chalmehava. Barhadia was a person who was a specialist at interpreting dreams. Man diyoev le agra mafshir le mal yusa, man leyev le agra mafshir le griyusa. And he would interpret it. If somebody paid him, he would interpret it positively. If somebody didn't pay him, he would interpret the same dream negatively. Abai v'rava chazu chelma, abai yoev le zuzi v'rava lo yoev le. The Gemara says, abai and rava dreamt. Abaye paid Barhadia, Rava didn't. And what happened? So they got different results. Abaye, alright, so what happened? Amrile, they said to him, Akrin b'chelman, we saw in a dream, Sharcha tavuach le'enecha. The pasuk which says that you'll see your ox slaughtered before your eyes and you won't be able to do anything about it. The Rava Amarle, to Rava, who didn't pay, he said, Pasid iskech v'le'hani lach le'mechal me'yutz v'delibach. Said the dream of your shor being shechted in front of you, or that pasuk is, that your business will go down the tubes, and you won't be able to enjoy anything of it. You won't be able to do anything about it. Li abaye amar lei, to abaye he said, meravich iskoch, lehani loch lemechal meched v'delibach. He says, your business is going to thrive so much that you won't even be able to enjoy all of its fruit. Right? That your ox will be slaughtered in front of you, and you won't be able to do anything about it. Meaning it's just going to be too much of a good thing. You know, you won't be able to spend all the money that you make. All the money that you make. And you'll be so full, Rashi even says, from satisfaction, just in happiness, that you won't be hungry. And so on and so forth. The Gemara goes on, dream after dream after dream after dream. For Abaye, he interpreted it positively. For Rava, he interpreted it negatively. And in the end, the Gemara describes that, you know, what happened when they discovered how they reacted to him, how they dealt with him when they discovered that this was all, it seems, to some degree arbitrary. It was up to him. It was up to what he was going to say, whether he was going to say it positively or whether he was going to say it negatively. What do we see from all of this? What's at least one aspect that we see from all of this? Dreams are ambiguous. They're not just unclear. It's not just that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say things with a clear, exact message that, you know, gets through absolutely. But dreams are specifically ambiguous. And dreams can mean one thing, and they can mean its opposite. You could have something which in fact could be meaning two opposite things, the very same dream. And those two opposite meanings are not even necessarily going to be considered so absolutely opposite to each other that they can't both be true. Farkert, they can, in fact, both be true. You know, when you look in the end of last week's parsha, and you look at the dreams of the butler and the baker that they had, so you can look at it closely and you could say, okay, well, there's a difference. The butler's positive. Right, he's squeezing the cup of the grapes. The baker's not positive. The bread is being eaten out of the basket, out of his head. Look, he was supposed to feed and he was supposed to give to drink. You know, they were both doing it. You could take one dream. Yosef could take a dream, which in truth is very similar. One expression of Yisrael Pare Es Reishcha. Pare will lift up your head. And in one case, it can be made, can be interpreted as a promotion. And in the other case, it can be interpreted as a decapitation, to remove the head. The same thing can be understood, the same words can be understood as meaning very different things. Very different things. And that's the duality, that's the doubling, which is going to be present, really, in the words of a chalom, in the words of a dream. Every dream, even if it isn't two dreams, even if the dream doesn't come out in a doubling, which all of these dreams do because that's the nature of the dream, even if the dream doesn't seem to come out as a doubling, there always is in it, within it, implicitly, a certain kind of a doubling of what it could be. It could be this way, it could be that way. It could be this step followed by that step. It could be this and its opposite. It could be the same thing over again twice. Let me try to explain. The Gemara says in Maseches Chagiga, Divrei Chachamim, the Pasuk says in the end of Kohelis, Divrei Chachamim kedarvoinais, v'chamasmeirais netuim, v'alei asufois, nitnume raya echad. It says the words of the Chachamim, of Chachamim, are like darvoinais, they're like a cattle prod, v'chamasmeirais netuim, are like a nail implanted in the wall. V'alei asufois, those who gather together in groups, right? Nitnume raya echad. They came from one shepherd. So the Gemara in Chagiga interprets these psukim line by line about the words of the Chachamim. Whatever the earlier stages mean, it's not for us right now. But the Gemara then says, Bali Asufais. What does it mean, Bali Asufais? The people who gather together in groups. Says the Gemara, these are the Chachamim who get together as they learn Torah. And you have groups and groups of Chachamim. Halalu mitamin valalu mitarin. They discuss exactly the same case. And these come to the conclusion that this item is tame, and the others that the item is tohar. Halalu paisli, halalu machshir. These come and say that it's invalid, while the others say that it is valid. Right? These ones say that it's tohar. These say it's tame. These say it's forbidden. These say it's permitted. Says the Gemara, that's what's going on. When Torah is studied, everybody's learning. Everybody's studying and they're coming to different conclusions. So the Gemara says, so the person might say, how can I learn Torah? If this one says this, and this one says the opposite, this one says about the same thing, Tameh, and the other one says about that very same thing, Tar. How can I learn Torah? So says the Gemara, you have to understand that they're all Nitnumei Rayechot. They all come from one shepherd. Kelechot Amoran. One God said them, Parnas Echad, Nisanan, right? They came from one leader, from Moshe Rabbeinu, one Navi, be Yisrael, Mipi Adon Kol HaMasim, who's saying it in the name of the Master of all creatures, in the name of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Says Rashi, right, again, what's the idea? That everybody who's involved in this machlokes, they're not quoting any Torah other than the Torah of Hashem. They're not basing it based on anybody's interpretation of the Torah other than that of Moshe Rabbeinu. So they're all working within the same rules, within the same playing field, within the same field of study and of understanding, and they're coming to different conclusions. And says the Gemara, and that's all part of the Torah. As it says, Vayidaber Elohim es kol advarim ha'il. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke all of these words. Meaning that indeed we are to say that where the Torah is ambiguous, where the Torah is unclear, where the Torah is given, and within the person who's not trying to argue with the Torah, or not trying to say, okay, that made sense then, but it doesn't make sense now, within people who are approaching the Torah with integrity, to try to study and figure out what the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying within the Torah, there's a possibility of different interpretations. And they both could be right, even though they're opposite from each other. Vayidaber Elohim es kol hadvarim ha'ela. The most famous expression of this idea is not this Gemara in Chagiga. The most famous expression of it is the Gemara in Erevin, where the Gemara speaks about the years that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argued with each other, until finally a baskol, a heavenly voice, came and said, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elohim chayim. These and those are the words of the living God. V'alocha k'beis hillel. But v'alocha is like beis hillel. So what is the idea? Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elohim chayim. Beis Shammai argues with beis hillel. Beis Shammai says tamei where beis hillel says Torah. Beis Shammai says aser where beis hillel says mutter. It's two opposite things. But nevertheless, we say somehow that they are both considered the words of the Ribbono Shel Olam. If both of them, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, are working to understand the Torah, and from the words of Torah which they were given, they arrived at these two opposite conclusions, we consider them all Divrei Elohim Chayim. Vayidaber Elohim es kol advarim ha'ela. Meaning that the same quote unquote dream can mean the one thing and can mean the opposite. Divrei Torah are, as Chazal say, Kepatish yefaitze tzela, like the rock that is smashed by the hammer, or like the rock that smashes the hammer. Different ways how to translate the verse. Right? The hammer, right, takes to the rock, bring it together, hard and hard contact, and different things come out. You know, when it comes to Torah, we have two opposite expressions. One expression, the one which we just had here, is the idea of Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. All the different opinions, they're all the word of the living God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke all of these different words, even though these words are opposite of each other, of Tamei and Tohar. That's one view, one aspect. The other aspect is an aspect which we find in Chazal, where they speak about something which is absolutely anathema, which is Shtei Torahs, that there should be as if there's two Torahs in the Jewish people. The Gemara learns from a pasuk which says, when a person is beset by grief, they lost a dear relative, so the Torah says they shouldn't cut themselves. That's the simple pshat in the pasuk. They shouldn't cut themselves. They shouldn't rip their hair out over a mace, over a death, over a loss. Say Chazal, what does Laisis Gaididu mean? Laisasu agudais agudais. Don't make yourself into separate groups. What does that mean? That people should be noeg, should have customs in Torah which are different from one another. Everybody, ideally, should do the same thing. Chazal learn it from Laisis Gaididu. So on the one hand, it's a little bit of a pun. Sizgaididu is to tear the skin. But on the other pshat, it is to make a gedud, to make an aguda, to make a group. Don't make yourself into separate groups. On the deeper level, it's not just the play of the word on the pun, but the idea is, when the Jewish people make themselves into groups, it's the equivalent of taking the body of the Jewish people and tearing it. The Torah says, don't tear your skin, don't tear your flesh. When you take the body of Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, and you have one group of people doing this way, another group of people doing the other way, you're tearing the Jewish people apart. So we say, Loisis Gaididu, don't tear yourself apart. Don't make yourself agudas agudas. There should be consensus. And because of this, really, when things function normally and properly, what happens? What happens is that, okay, people have different perspectives, but everything will be brought to the Sanhedrin, and there will be a decision made on behalf of the Jewish people, for the Jewish people, that everybody will observe. Even when there isn't a Sanhedrin, there would be a Bez Din in the city, that there would be a conclusion, and everybody would do the same thing. Later, we find this notion of Shnei Batei Dinim Bi'ir Achas. Two courts within one city, a Beis Shammai court, a Beis Hillel court. Each one maintains its own thing, and it's like two practices side by side within a city. And it's a big step down. It may not be forbidden absolutely, but on the other hand, it's taking the body of the Jewish community and it's ripping it apart. We don't want Shtei Torahs. We want one Torah. But at the same time, I just finished telling you the Gemara that says that when Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing, and they're both working according to the rules, doing what's supposed to be done, what do we say? They're both the words of Hashem. Two Torahs. You have groups studying Torah. Some say Tamei, some say Tor, some say Mutter, some say Aser. All these words were spoken by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, you understand? It's like two different things. Two opposites. Even here, we have two opposites. Do we believe in one Torah? Do we talk about multiple Torahs? Do both happen at the same time? How does it work? You understand that in the world of Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, there was no ambiguity whatsoever. What we're talking about here is in the world of Chidos, in the world where things appear in a cryptic manner. We're talking about, okay, a Navi sees something, even the Navi to some degree, he sees it with a certain ambiguity that it's subject to interpretation. Wasn't true of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy was crystal clear, without question, without ambiguity, without any duality in it whatsoever, without any compromise. But the Nevuah of other Nevi'im, it was already a little bit open, already a little bit subject. How do you know? Well, you have the classic Gemara. We've discussed before in different contexts. The Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a Nevuah and he changed it. What was the Nevuah? The Nevuah was that in 40 days Nineveh will be overturned. Says the Gemara, it wasn't really changed. What happened was that Nineveh was overturned. Nineveh underwent a revolution. What does it mean to suffer a revolution? It's turned over completely. It wasn't turned over physically. They were turned over morally. Over those 40 days, they did tshuva. And they completely changed. They took bricks that they had stolen, built them into buildings, and they knocked down the building to give the brick back. Right? They were so committed to changing their ways. So therefore, Nineveh was overturned. What does that mean? It means the Nevuah, which Yonah had, it wasn't crystal clear. Oh, it was close. He understood exactly the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to understand it. But there was already a certain lack of clarity. And when you get ultimately down to the Nevuah of Chalomos, of dreams, ooh, there, it's really ambiguous. It's really ambiguous. You can have listened to the dream, and the person can almost arbitrarily decide, I'm going to say L'ra, or I'm going to say L'taiva. And in the world of Talmud Torah, the world of Talmud Torah, which Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel occupied, which the Chachamim occupied, where they're working to study and to understand what the Torah is saying, there is similarly an ambiguity. And two people can approach it with integrity, trying to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, and come to two different conclusions. What I'm suggesting to you in addressing this question of the dreams always appearing in twos is because indeed this is the nature of the chalom. This is the nature of the dream. The nature of the dream is the duality. Now sometimes you will take both sides of the duality and interpret them together. In the dream of Parai, which we have here in the conclusion, Yosef takes the two dreams and he interprets them the same way. He says they're one dream and they mean the same thing. And it's just the duality is because it's going to come quicker. But he's taking a dream which by nature is dual, which by nature is double, which by nature can go two ways. And he's being machriya. He's deciding, he's turning the dream in his own direction. All the dreams have this duality. All the dreams have the two. In the world of non-dreams, in the world of absolute clarity, where it's not subject to anybody's doing, everything is clear. But in the world of Chalomos, to some degree, things are dual, they are double. Now, what I'm about to tell you, where we're going from here, is a little bit beyond what we would perhaps normally, I think the whole nature we're talking about here is a little bit of a dreamy sheer, right? Going a little bit beyond perhaps what one might consider as simple pshatim or simple interpretations in what we're discussing. The story of Yosef and his brothers is a story of Leisus Gaididu. It's the story of people making themselves into groups. It's a story of the Jewish people and their earliest machlekes, their earliest argument. Yosef and the brothers, you know, according to a Chazal describe it, to some degree they had machlekes in halacha. When Yosef brought the bosom roi to Laviyam, when Yosef brought the stories, the negative stories about his brothers to his father, right, they were having arguments about Aver Menachai. They were having arguments about different issues, about what the proper course was for a person who cares about the will of Hashem to follow. And whether you're going to interpret it like I just said it, which is in terms of some kind of a halachic disagreement, or disagreement in approach, but the result clearly was agudais agudais, that the Jewish people were split. Yosef was sold by his brothers. Yosef was broken away from the rest of the Shiftei Kaf, the rest of the Jewish people. There was a division which was forged here. In the ambiguity which is present, when you don't have the clear and absolute word of Hashem Yisbarach, so what happens? You'll have different people that will subscribe to different interpretations, different approaches, and they'll end up in different places. Vayhi bishurun melech bisasef rashi om yachad shifte Yisrael. When Moshe Rabbeinu was around, when Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy was seen as being clear and accepted, so then what happens? All of Klal Yisrael is together as one. Moshe Rabbeinu was the melech, was the king, who unified the Jewish people. Oh, in Moshe Rabbeinu's time there was also machlekes. Who was the machlekes? The machlekes was Kairach against Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because being that Kairach challenged and said, no, Moshe Rabbeinu isn't really getting the word of Hashem. He's putting in his own words, and he's practicing nepotism and just deciding to put his own brothers and whatever was into positions of power. So therefore, Korach challenged Moshe Rabbeinu and was ready to go his own way and create his own unit. When you challenge the veracity of the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, so then that's what you end up with. You end up with machloikas. But when you have the clarity of the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, what you have is Yachad Shifte Yisrael. You know, there's a beautiful thing that's written in the Rishonim. Yehuda Levi writes it. Right? The Rambam writes it someplace, I think, as well. How do we refer to heretics in Lashon HaKodesh? Right? So we know the term Apikiris, right? That's a famous term. Apikiris, which is understood, right? We even find in Chazal, in Rishonim, that it's Miloshon Hefker, right? Hefker means, you know, free for all. Open, wide open. Apikiris believes, les din v'les dayim. There's no accountability. Things which happen in the world are utterly random. It's a hefkervelt, as we say. But there's another term. People who daven nusach svard, and some who daven nusach pure Ashkenaz, German, will say, v'chol haminim kerego yevedu. Right? The broch of Olam al-Shinim al-Tisikva, v'chol haminim kerego yevedu. Right, all the minim should be destroyed instantaneously. The minim were the heretics. We call it, birchas haminim. Right? The Gemara language of the Gemara is that this is called birchas haminim. The bracha about the minim. What's a min? A min is a term for a heretic, but you know what a min means? A limineu. Min is a species, types. So, the Rebbe Yehuda Levi writes in the Kuzri, why are they called minim? Because the thing was, they denied the clarity of the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. They believed in the Torah Shebichtav, but they had no Torah Shebaal Peh. They didn't believe in the oral Torah, and therefore they didn't have the interpretation of the Torah the way we have it. So what ends up happening when you don't have that clarity of the Nevuah? So you end up with 31 flavors. You end up with, everybody says, this one says this way, this one says that way. Without a clarity of prophecy, by definition, there's going to be a split, a divergence amongst the different people. That's why they're called minim. That's why they're called varieties. They're called varieties, they're called different types, because by definition, if they challenge the purity of the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, you end up with so many different types. Kairach Kairach was the Baal Machlaikas, who wanted to have 250 different people bring Ketores to purport to be Kohanim Gedolim. 250 different people all over the place. Why? Or through the challenge to the truth of the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yosef HaTzadik, who was functioning on a realm which was different. There wasn't the clarity of prophecy. Yosef was in the world of Chalaimais. So in him you have Lysis Gaito. In him you have different groups. It's true in a certain sense. The Gemara affirms, Elu ve'elu divrei Elohim Chayim. Oh, the different opinions, they're all the words of Elohim Chayim. But on the other hand, that Elu ve'elu divrei Elohim Chayim, the presence of those different opinions, means that you don't have the clarity of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, which means in some level that the Jewish people are being pulled into different directions. And in a sense, it's a negative and a positive. These are the days of Chanukah. Always is. Miketz, always, right? Shabbos Chanukah, that season. So, Chanukah is, interestingly, the beginning of a period in the Jewish people of machlokes, of argument. The first machlokes which existed between Chachmei Yisrael, which perpetuated for generations, was a machlokes about smicha, about a certain aspect of the offering of korbanos. The Mishnah says in Maseches Chagiga that all the different Rosh Sanhedrin argued about it. Yosi ben Yehezer and Yosi ben Yochanan, Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shetach, all the people who are listed in the first parak of Pirkei Avos, they all argued about it. Excuse me, I want to get the Gemara. Yosef ben Yehezer emir shalei lismach, Yosef ben Yechon emir lismach, Yeshua ben Prachy emir shalei lismach, Nitar Beili emir lismach, Yehuda ben Tabai emir shalei lismach, Shimon ben Shetach emir lismach, Shmai emir lismach, Avtali emir shalei lismach. All the different generations they argued about it. And this was the Machlokes Rishon, this was the original Machlokes which occurred in the Jewish people. This is the Machlokes Rishon, again that's what Rashi brings, that existed ben Chachmei Yisrael. So, what's the idea? What's happening over here? This is all happening as well, you know, contemporaneously with the time of the emergence of the Mesiavnim of the Chash, and of the story of the Chashmei Noyim. They're all arguing. Interestingly, the argument starts with Yosi ben Yehezer and Yosi ben Yochanan, who are the first of the zugais, the first of the pairs of leaders of the Jewish people. In the beginning of Pirkei Avos, we have the earlier history of the leadership of the Jewish people. And who was it? It was the Anshei Knesset HaGdailah, Shimon HaTzadik, Antignus Ish Socho, all single leaders. The first time you have two leaders is Yosi ben Yehezer and Yosi ben Yochanan. And they divide up two different paths. And they argue. Every pairing, they argued. Because what happened was, you came to this time of a period of a duality. And as Rav Huttner writes in a beautiful Maimar on Chanukah, he says, because one of the aspects of Chanukah, of the period of the Yevanim, was lahashkicham tairasecha, to make the Torah forgotten. Right? That's the chayshach of Yevan, the darkness. The same letters that spell chayshach, darkness, spell Shochach, forgetting. They made some forgetfulness of Torah take hold in the Jewish people. And so what happens? When the remembrance of Torah is not so clear, then you can start with machlokes. You can start with this argument. With the conveyance of Torah is not so clear. You start with machlokes, you start with argument. And this was the extent of how their success to some degree began indeed having some forgetfulness and therefore having this lack of clarity, this division in the Jewish people. Now, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? So Rav Huttner says a magnificent thing, beautiful thing. I shared it with some people in one of the Shabbosos leading up to Hanukkah. He says, you know, the Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin, when you have two people who are sitting and they're arguing with each other, they're sitting and they're arguing with each other, Nasim Oivim Zelozeh. Even if it's a father and son who are learning together, or a Rebbe and a Talmud, they can argue with each other so fiercely that they can become like enemies to each other. But they don't leave there. They don't leave there until they become lovers of one another. So what's the idea? It's simply, okay, at a certain point, they make peace, they come to agreement. Rav Huttner says, no, it's much more profound than that. He says, the idea is that these two people, they argued, and because of their argument, what happened? They produced, in their argument, two different opinions by arguing with each other, by contrasting with each other, by one standing and telling the other, no, it's not the way you see it, it's this way. And each one sharpened his opinion by virtue of the argument with the other. Says Rav Huttner, the reason why they become oyavim zeh, the reason why they love one another, is because the greatest love that exists is between two people who come together to create something. Two people come together to create something, there's going to be an ava, a love that exists between the two of them. And so he says, when these two people get together and they learn and they study, and as a result of their learning and their studying, they produce two different opinions, two different perspectives, they produce an argument, when they take the step back and they realize what they produce together, that they produce taka different understandings, but with the help of one another they produce the different understandings, that in fact fosters the ava, that will foster a love between them, that the two of them work together to generate this new broadening and expansion of Torah, this duality that exists within Torah. The mitamin and the mitarin, the elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. But you understand that that's maybe speaking about the richness of the diversity of the opinions that will exist within Torah. And the oyavim zelazeh, the love that they can have for one another as a result of working together to produce the richness of this diversity of the Torah, together the two of them. But at the same time, what it also does is that it rips apart the body of the Jewish people. We might recognize and say, you know something, we've produced here two valid expressions of the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because a dream, by definition, is a double expression, is an expression with ambiguity. But at the same time now, I hold this way, and you hold that way. And we might love each other, but we're still separate from each other. We still have different opinions from each other. So we can work to overcome it. The Gemara in Maseches Yevamos, where it speaks about the arguments between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and it speaks about the idea of what Yisrael to do there, the two different schools. The Gemara says, but you know, what was amazing was that Beis Shammai would hold that certain people, or Beis Hillel will hold according to, that certain people of Beis Shammai were mamzerim. They held that according to us, they couldn't marry, and the children of that union therefore would be considered illegitimate children, and we can't marry them. But the people of Beis Hillel would still marry amongst the people of Beis Shammai, because the people of Beis Shammai would say to them, you know, don't marry this one. This one you would hold would be a mamzer. They would put on their identity card, mamzer le Beis Hillel. That's what they would do. Like nowadays, we don't can have that. If I feel it's right, I'm not going to tell you that according to you it's wrong. It would be insulting for me to do it. That, says the Gemara, this teaches you how ava shruya beinayim, the love which existed between them. That even though they argued and they had differences about such fundamental issues as the personal status of people, their kashrus or non-kashrus as a human being to be married to another Jew. They were still able to somehow live together as bali machlekes, as people with arguments. But that's so unusual, it's so superhuman. And it's still some level of gedida, some level of tearing apart the core fabric of the Jewish people. So in the story of Hanukkah, as the Greeks succeeded to some degree in lashkicham teirasecha, in darkening the light of the Torah, they created machlokes, they created difference of opinion, which was to some degree as well creating therefore a separation, a division which would exist within the Bnei Israel, within the Jewish people. We can celebrate the positive aspects of people working together to generate different interpretations of Torah, but we also must at the same time recognize that in that world of the Chalayim, in that world where things aren't clear, we end up doing things differently from each other, and therefore divided from each other between the Sfardim and the Ashkenazim and the Hasidim and the Misnagdim and the Beis Shammais and the Beis Hillels and all the different opinions which are there. It's not a coincidence that it is again in Yosef HaTzadik's world, the world of the Chalaimais, that there emerges the world of the Machlaikas, the division which will exist within the Jewish people. And it's not a coincidence, it's not a coincidence that in the ultimate dream of Parai, to a certain degree, in the dream already of Yosef, which he has, two dreams that are interpreted fundamentally the same way. Right? The 11 of you will bow down to me, and the 11 of you and our father will come and bow down to me. Right? We said it's two different dreams, two different stages. They'll happen at two different times. But it'll be A and A plus, you know? It'll be this thing and this thing with even more. When Yosef interprets the dreams of the butler and the baker, boom, it's divide and conquer. It's this one is this way, this one is that way. And by the way, if you think about it, who replaced the baker? Arguably, Yosef replaced the baker. The baker, the Sar Ha'ofim, was the person who was, we understand he probably was some guy with a big white puffy hat named Pierre, you know? He baked the pastries for Parai, you know? No, right? In a broader sense, the Sar Ha'ofim was the one who provided the bread. Is it a coincidence that Yosef pronounces the death penalty of the Sar Ha'ofim and eventually ascends to be the Mashbir L'chol Am Haaretz, the one who would provide bread for the entire land? It's not a coincidence. On them he divides the dream in two. But then the dream of Parai about Mitzrayim, two are one. Both dreams are one. You see, what we're talking about here, if we want to go again one step further, one dreamy step further, what we have here is really the parsha of bringing Kal Yisrael back together again. Through the dreams of Parai is how Kal Yisrael is going to come back together again. How Yosef in Mitzrayim is going to be united with his brothers in Canaan. It's going to be the parsha which will culminate when Yaakov Avinu comes down and he bows down to Yosef. And what's he going to be saying, Yaakov Avinu? He's going to be saying, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad. Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem who appears sometimes bad and sometimes good. Went through just now a period of time, Yaakov Avinu knows, where he felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gone. Nistalke menu shechina. Hashem was absent from him. He had such difficulties around Yosef. But now he sees that no, it's all one. It all comes together. Yaakov Avinu, who as he's dying and his sons are surrounding his bed, he's wondering if they're all together. because he doesn't have the Shechina. He doesn't have clear Shechina. And they tell him, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Shem Shem Belivcha Elechad, Kachem Belibeinu Elechad. Just like in your heart there's only one God. In our heart there's only one God. Somehow they have to come together around Yaakov, you know, and that's the expression of Hashem Echad. So what is all of this? So what I'm suggesting to you is that all of this is really, it's really one thing. You can have the Torah in two Torahs, or it could be in one Torah. You can have the Jewish people in separate pieces, gidudim, agudais, agudais, or you can have the Jewish people all together. And you can have the Rabbanu Shalom split. Bad, good, dayinu emes, hatev ha-meitev, or you can have Hashem Echad, having it all together. The normal perspective is that when there are differences within Torah, so then there are separations within the Jewish people. And there's a lack of clarity about what Hashem is saying. You'll see the tide, you'll see the ra. Indeed, the power of Yosef was not like this charlatan Barhedya in the Gemara, so to speak, this Barhedya who they were so upset at, who would take a single dream and split it up into two. Yosef would take two dreams and put them together into one. Where this one would go and produce for one person good and for the other person bad, Yosef HaTzadik went and he said, even that which is bad is really good. Where the vagueness and the dreams would normally, the brothers heard the first dream of Yosef. And they interpreted the first dreams of Yosef. Yosef never even interpreted the dreams, right? He just said, I saw your bundles bowing down to my bundle. And what did they say? What? You're going to be a king over us? They interpreted the dreams, and the dreams spelled division. But to Yosef, when they would bow down to him, what would he do? He would come and he would be embracing them and hugging them, bringing them together with him. That's what he's going to do in the end when he reveals himself as they all bow down to him. So there is a notion of finding the whole in that which is separate. The easy ichud, the easy unity of Klal Yisrael is the unity of Yachad Shifte Yisrael of the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. When the prophecy of Kli is clear, when the word of Hashem is clear, when there's no ambiguity or duality about what Hashem is doing, about what Hashem is saying, and all of Klal Yisrael can do the same thing together, Sheva Zachin Gam Yachad. The power of Yosef is in the time of Hayinu Kechelme, is in the time when it's not so clear. But Yosef still manages, in a world of dreams which by nature you could take it and say, well, it could be this way, it could be that way. There's this great ambiguity here. But somehow Yosef makes the two into one. Yosef makes the Ava out of the Oivim. He makes the lovers out of the enemies. This is the idea that I wanted to share with you. What's happening here in these parshiyos is fundamental to us. We know that the Golus which we have is a hemshech, is a continuation of this story of Mechiras Yosef. Chazal even teach us that the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. And as we know, that's the direct continuation of the sin of Mechiras Yosef. We know that Klal Yisrael is beset by two kinds of sins, by the sins like the Chet HaEgel, which was primarily a sin against the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and by the Chet of Mechiras Yosef, which is a sin of Ein Adam L'Chaveiro. Melech, Moichel, V'Seilech, L'Avein Yisenu, L'Amein Ois, Amai Beis Yisrael, L'Aviyash, M'Seinu, M'Chol Shana. Right? So I'm sorry. Right before that, we say in the Bracha of Yerba, Ki'atah, Solchan L'Yisrael, U'machalam L'Shifte Yishurim, M'Chol Der V'Dar. Right? So, we've discussed before, Mashiach Chachmer, Meir Simcha says, those are the two aspects. Solchan L'Yisrael, it's forgiving the Jewish people for their sins towards the Rabbeinu Shem, the Egel, which is forgiven on Yom Kippur. And Machal and the Shifta Yeshurun is the tribes of the Jewish people, is the Benon of Machaveira, is the sale of Yosef. We do them both on Yom Kippur. Right? We say the Asara Rugei Malchus for selling Yosef for shoes on Yom Kippur. Right? It's all part, all figures into the same thing. Yom Kippur, we have to do tshuva with Hashem, we have to ask forgiveness for one another. But we know that for us, now, in this Golos, it's not the three Averis of Gili, Arayos, Shvichus, Dam, and Avodah Zarah that keep us out of the Eretz Yisroel. It's Mechiras Yosef. It's Sinas Chinam. It's brotherly hatred. It's Machlaikas. And Yosef is the one who cures the Machlaikas. And he cures the Machlaikas by somehow bringing together the different opinions, not necessarily even making them one. Not necessarily even making them one, but seeing it, because it's a chaloyim. Es kol advar mayil, Hashem spoke all of these words. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. The same thing for Ra, the same thing for Taiva, it's all together. It's unifying Hashem, it's unifying the Torah, and it's unifying the Jewish people. In Moshe Rabbeinu's world, that's easy because of the nature of the clarity of the prophecy. In Yosef's world, in the world of the Chalaimus, it's a far greater challenge. It's a far greater challenge. But it's certainly a big part of what we have to do. And certainly a big part of what has to be grown positively in the story of Hanukkah, in the story of where argument really started in the Jewish people in Chachmei Yisrael. As Torah Shebaal Peh became even more of a Baal Peh, more of a Chalaim. But the avas of Zeh, the love of one to the other. It's an interesting thing that the last pair of zugais was Hillel and Shammai. Right? You know that in Pirkei Avos when you follow those pairs? The last of the pairs was Hillel and Shammai. After that we have Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai and his students. They're not described as pairs anymore. The Mishnah says in Chagiga, so Yosef and Yezer said this way, Yosef and Yechon said it that way. Yeshum Brach said this way, Nitar Abel said that. Yudah B'Tavi said this way, Shimon Shavach said that way. Shmai said this way. Every pair, they argued with each other. Hillel had a partner. Who was Hillel's pair? So we're used to Shammai. Hillel's original pair was a fellow named Menachem. And they didn't argue. They agreed. Which meant, of course, that Menachem was disqualified. Yotza Menachem. Menachem had to leave. I know. He left for another reason. The Gemara discusses why he left. But interestingly, they didn't argue. Who took his place? Shammai. Oh, Hillel and Shammai, they argued. Shammai said, Shaloi l'smei, Hillel said to do smicha. What's the pshat? So I think, I'm sorry, don't see the clock. It's very late, I'm sorry. But the thing is that there are two ways you can end machlokes. There are two ways you can heal the zugos. One is, they're not going to argue anymore. Hillel and Menachem, they won't argue anymore. They're all going to say the same thing. Like, back to Tiras Maisha. The other way is Hillel and Shammai, that argued and argued and argued and argued. And on them, the Baskel came out and said, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. But the argument didn't get in the way of them being one. The Gemara, which says, the Vasco said, but the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Why is the halacha like Beis Hillel? Because Beis Hillel shows such respect and love for Beis Shammai. They'll always quote Beis Shammai even before they say their own thing. Hillel and Shammai, and whom the Gemara in Yavama says, that I told you before, that even though they argue with each other, this one will say, that child of yours is a mamzer in my opinion. Right? But I'll marry the other ones who aren't considered to be mamzerim. Oh, and I'll tell you, if there was a problem, I would tell you, don't worry. That is, there's a machlekes. They're separate, but they're still able to be together. That was why Menachem had to leave and Shammai had to come in. Well, as long as it was Menachem, everybody was the same. So somehow we have to learn in the oivim, in the enemies, in the arguers of Allah, to still be able to make the oivim, like Yosef did with his brothers. Like Yosef was trying to do with his brothers. To make echad from many. It's harder than in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's very much our charge, very much our responsibility. To make the two dreams into one. Instead of taking the one dream and splitting it in two, to make the two dreams into one.